serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit with 93-year-old Bob Thomas of Chula Vista, California. Earlier, he mentioned how he ended up in the hospital bleeding from both ears while serving with the 90th Infantry Division in World War II. It was a German rocket, nicknamed a Screaming Mimi, that detonated very close to where he was. But I don't think you told us how close, Bob. Do you have an estimate on that?
Well, it was just pretty close.
So it must have hit close enough to knock you down and knock you unconscious.
Oh, for sure. Just, yeah. Incidentally, there's so much noise when you're on the line, where all the fortresses, you know, and I have dragon's teeth. Yeah. Dragon's teeth are great pyramid-shaped concrete things about 5 feet tall. They're there to block the entry of tanks, and they do a pretty good job. We were, eight of us was in a line. We were going to go to the village away down from where we were getting a lot of fire. And I was almost next to the road to me, and I'm going down this way. We're waiting for an American tank to come by to give us support, because there's noise and artillery and everything all the time. And it's dark. Rumor, you can hear whispering, and the tank is coming. Tanks are coming. And so I turn and stand on the road, and I look down, and I could see a little pinpoint of light. Some of the tanks had the pinpoint of light, and it's coming down towards us. Well, as it comes down, it passes, and I'm arm's length from me. We were expecting a Sherman tank, but it turns out to be a King Tiger tank. And with a cross on it. Mm-hmm. And so it passes me, and it stops just past me. And an officer sticks his head up. By now, it's just kind of light. And the tank stopped, and he says, "What German unit is this?" Jerry Steinhardt, one of my buddies. He says, "They're American. The woods are full of American tanks and soldiers." And as soon as he said that, clunk, it takes off down the road towards the village. I usually was you're very close to your buddies. And to my left, when we were waiting to go, to my left and down about 3 feet, was Jerry Steinhardt. And Jerry Steinhardt was the only one that I ever ran into that could speak German. So when they called out, you know,
the German tank commander said that in German. What German unit is this? But he was able to answer him in German.
Oh yes, the woods are full of American soldiers and tanks. Bomb! And just as it gets a weight down, then a soldier on horseback runs after the tank. And as he passes us running after the tank, some of the guys fired at the man on the horse. So as we then head down into the village, as I'm going down there, I look to my right, and there's that horse standing there. And it's got bleeding, big bullet holes on the left rear flank. The horse does. And the soldier's on the ground. And as I go by that, then Jerry Steinhull and another buddy, the German soldier that was going after the tank, was on the ground, and he had a belt buckle, "God mit uns," "God with us." And that fellow took the belt buckle, gave it to his son later.
I just can't help but think, you've talked about a few close calls here, you know, the Hitlerjugend who could have shot you if you didn't shoot him, the outhouse incident where the tank shoots where you would have been had you not gone to the outhouse.
That's right.
And now the Screaming Mimi, you know, this German rocket comes and hits close enough to you to knock you unconscious, and you wake up with bleeding from both of your ears. How do you account for your survival? And how amazing is it to you that you did survive through all those situations and more?
You know, I'm just thankful that everything happened. It's just so much happening. I had a buddy, and both of us, we had just taken a bunker, mm-hmm. And we had just taken that, and we wanted to go to the next bunker. And so as we're crawling in the trench, and as I'm crawling in the trenches, dirt's falling on my helmet, right there, falling all over my helmet. And a voice from behind me says, "Bob, a sniper's shooting at your head." I crouched down, and 50 years later, I find out at a reunion, "Did you ever find out, Bob, who told you to keep your head down?" But he uses a few expletives. And I said, "I never did, but I'm the one." It was funny. But I feel very, very fortunate. I love my country. I would do anything for it. I have loss of hearing. And even the two brand new hearing aids are not really good, but it's better than nothing. I think the thing that bothers me the most is because of the concussion, it damaged my vestibular balance system in the inner ear, which caused me to have difficulty with no balance. But I feel fine. My wheelchair is great. If I stand up with nothing, I fall over.
You have a pretty priceless artifact. What's the story of how you ended up with silverware from Hitler's hideout with Eva Braun's initials on it?
In 1983, I met an eyewitness to a historic military event, Howard W. Vogel and his 9/10th Mobile Anti-Aircraft Tank Battalion. He discovered and captured the last great trophy in World War II, and that was the capture of the village of Berchtesgaden, the discovery of Hitler's home, the Berghof.
So what you're talking about, here's Berchtesgaden, Hitler's hideout. There's the Eagle's Nest, which a lot of people have heard of. You're talking about the Berghof, which is also there in Berchtesgaden. But for years, credit for capturing that village was given to the 3rd Infantry Division, even by President Eisenhower and other generals.
Without any proof.
And the date given is May the 4th of 1945. But this man you met, who you got this silverware from, was there 8 days earlier. Photographs that he had taken there of things before that area was burned, because it was burned when the 3rd Infantry Division arrived.
Right.
So he's presenting you with physical artifacts and photographic evidence, and you're saying, wait a second, we need to correct the historical record. What do you hope to see happen with that?
Well, I have documentation and photographs and notarized and about 40 audio cassette tapes. I would like to be able to establish that Howard W. Vogel in his 9/10th attached to the 101st Airborne Division was indeed the first one to the village of Berchtesgaden and first one to capture Hitler's home, the Berghof. And they did that on April 26 and 27, 1945, 8 days before the 3rd Infantry Division arrived at the Berghof on May 4th, late in the afternoon, finding the Berghof aflame and destroyed.
And this has been depicted in literature and on screen as elements of the 101st Airborne liberating Berchtesgaden, to which the 3rd Infantry Division folks have said, well, that's not true. We were there first. And so you're saying this is proof that the author, Stephen Ambrose, in his writings, and Steven Spielberg, among others on screen, that when they give credit to the 101st Airborne, they're actually correct.
That's true, yes. And when the 3rd Infantry Division arrived on the late afternoon of the 4th of May, because the everything that the 3rd Infantry Division has is hearsay. They do not have any documentation. They do not have any photographs. They do not have anything concrete proof. And so the last greatest trophy of World War II was Howard W. Vogel's eyewitness account and documentation.
So in your mind, history has awarded that trophy to the wrong competitor.
Absolutely. And also, the 101st is a wonderful organization, and they deserve the credit.
And Howard Vogel is no longer with us, but you had the forethought to record his accounts on audio cassette, so we have that historical perspective. What would give you satisfaction? Is there someone who could acknowledge this for you, that you would feel mission accomplished? I righted a wrong. I did what I wanted to do with this information. Is there something that you're looking for?
Yeah, I've been working on this since 1983, and I had many, many, many visits to Howard, and it's just fantastic. And I feel that it's time for the 101st to get its rightful honor, and that is because I can document the 101st by its attached unit. Howard's 9/10 should be recorded as the true honor.
For the capture of Birch's Garden.
Yes.
And I'm just trying to imagine what that would look like. So if you had the Secretary of Defense, the Commanding General of the Army, or the Commander-in-Chief, the President of the United States, proclaim that the 101st, you know, with the 9/10 being that outfit attached to the 101st, that they are now credited with capturing Birch's Garden. That would be what you're looking for?
Yes, and be thankful that I'm still here to tell the story.
Even after you're gone, those tapes will tell the story. But what about that silverware? The initial Say E.B., Eva Braun, 145 pieces. What do you want to happen to that?
I have it in a vault, safety vault.
Long term, what do you hope will happen or become of it?
I would like to sell the silver and the stamp box with the stamps.
These were all taken from the Berghof before it was burned. Well, I'm sure there's so many other things that we could talk about, but I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country. Thank you for telling us this story. Thank you for working so hard to make sure the right story is told. Is there something that, after all these years, you'd say you're most proud of or most thankful for?
Serving my country. I thank the United States for giving me help, and I'm proud of America.
You spent 10 years, the first 10 years that the Midway was in San Diego as a museum ship. You were a volunteer docent there telling your story and the story of World War II to visitors from around the world. Why did you do that, and what did you get out of it?
Well, first of all, it was an opportunity to serve the country. I think that the Navy's fellows are just fantastic. And it was another opportunity to see a different experience and to help out. The USS Midway Museum in San Diego is a jewel. Every person should have the opportunity of going aboard. It teaches history, proven history, that most people don't know anything about. And defense of our country is paramount. And I'm grateful that we're working on defense.
And when it comes to Howard Vogel, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like the response of anyone you've tried to talk to about this has either been, well, he wasn't telling the truth, or maybe that happened, but it can't be proven. So it's either that happened or he's a liar, right?
Yeah, it's false. He's a true patriot. And the experiences that he went through were unique and absolutely true. I think that this truth by Howard should be made a record.
Well, now that we're aware of Vogel's claim, which Bob supports so passionately, we can spend some time investigating it. And maybe, just maybe, the pieces to the puzzle will all come together. You can learn more about all of this through the links to Bob Thomas's research and assertions at hometownheroesradio.com. We're out of time on today's program, but thanks so much for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.